Hello and welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. Ka-chow.
Ka-chow.
It's me, Landon. It's him, Lucas.
That's me.
It's us. Your perfectly good podcast friends. Back with another episode with the shortest sequence we've had yet.
Very short. You might have even missed it, so if you played through it, oh well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't blame people playing along for having played a little bit further this time, because there is no assassination this sequence. It is a bit of a kind of, like, intermediate thing, because we're getting into some new areas, some new territory. At this point, it's 1480.
I also did not see a sequence end. The only reason I stopped playing was because you told me to.
So, I did see it, but again, it's very quick, and you could 100%, like, start the next mission before even getting it, because, like I told him, the only reason that I knew was because I haven't played it on Xbox before, so I still got the achievement for, completing the sequence, and that stopped me. I was also, not 100% sure, because I started the sequence really late in the free time that I had, so I was trying to see how fast I could get through it, and I had finished the first couple missions, and then I looked, and it said I only had one mission left, and I was like, that's weird, but then I was like, well, maybe it's one where it's like the DNA sequence like unlocks as you play, so I was like, whatever. Nope, there really was just one more mission, so I was like kind of prepared for it already in a sense, so that was kind of where I was at, just because I didn't have a whole lot of time. But turns out I didn't really need much, because not a whole lot. I mean, like I said, since I'm going for the 100%, I did spend a little bit of time doing some side stuff. I still did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 side missions this, sequence, because we do get into a new city of Forley, but we'll get into that here in a bit. But fun times. Before we get into our overall thoughts, updated for the new sequence, last week's trivia question. Shout out to Malarkey. This man just cannot get any wrong. The first mission, even though he went back into the game to look it up, which isn't technically cheating, but like you're on thin ice, buddy. You're on thin ice. The side mission where Ezio infiltrates the Medici Palazzo to try to save Lorenzo from the Templars, that is called Home Invasion. So, yes, Malarkey, you got it.
Good job.
We'll see if you get this next one, because it's not something you can just look up in the game real quick. That's right. I'm on to you.
I had to experience it.
Exactly. So, how are you feeling 6 sequences into this game? Now we've got some really cool gameplay concepts in this that we've never seen in Assassin's Creed before. Their mission structure, some really varied missions that we've gotten here, some interesting concepts being introduced, and I feel like that was kind of the whole point of sequence 6, to kind of give that more cinematic feel to the game. How are you feeling?
So, I kind of enjoyed the intro. Ooh, I kind of enjoyed that intro with the bug with the horse, but that shit was so hard to get, like, shake those guards off and also maintain control.
Yeah, it was a bit of a, because I failed the first time because I tipped it over accidentally. I failed
because I'm a pro gamer, but
well, because I just thought, like, okay, just I didn't realize that it could tip over, so I was like, all right, let me just keep swerving.
Did not hear Leonardo being like, hey, be careful not to tip it over.
I wasn't paying attention to Leonardo. I was fighting for my life. Fuck Leonardo. I did tip it over accidentally. And then I was like, oh, I need to be careful about this. So I didn't even worry about tipping it, doing anything that. I was just driving, and I would try to scooch them off. And then the second that they got on top, then I was like, all right, I'm rocking the boat. Because then they pretty much immediately fell off for me. I didn't have too much trouble. I just had to, learn.
Did you get grabbed?
Oh, I understand now. No, never got grabbed.
I got grabbed. I didn't fail, but I got grabbed.
Yeah, no. They never had a chance. They was gone. They was like that as soon as I understand how the concept worked. And then we were good to go.
It was so hard to steer that thing. But, like I said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Like, I had, like, even though it was, like, hard, it was fun. It was a good little segue.
Yeah, you know, it reminded me of games, at like, other games at the time. Like, you know, this came out around the same time as Uncharted 2. Another, like, cinematic action-adventure game. And I do think it was partly inspired by the first game, which, again, had many of the same things in that, you know, there isn't really a whole lot of games with, like, bigger, like, cinematic sequences. I feel like, games like Halo are some of the few that really have those types of moments, you know, at this point in the industry. And so I think this was Ubisoft trying to do that because there aren't really too many of those in the first game. There are a couple of, like, notable moments or whatever. Was Gears out yet? Yes. Gears 1 and 2, I believe. Gears... When did Gears 3 come out? I think Judgment was 2012. So the whole trilogy might have been out at this point. I think 3 was 2010.
Okay.
So I think the first two games were out at this point.
And those had some pretty cinematic.
That's true. I think that's just a big, like, 360 generation, like, thing was, like, really, like, imbuing the cinematics and that sort of stuff. Yeah, like
you're playing a movie.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got, you know, Final Fantasy with the PS2, like, that era and stuff. Like, but those are, I think, like, the start of it. This is where we really, like, you know, get into the nitty-gritty of, like, okay, how can we, like, optimize this, make this more, like, realistic and everything like that, having these really cool gameplay sequences that are seemingly big budget. Personally, it felt to me like Sequence 6 was, like, a lot of their, like, new tech demos that they were trying to make for this game. And, like, they had built all these assets, and they're like, where should we fit this in? And they're like, what if we just, you know, have a little city there, and then we just have this little mini sequence where we just throw in this stuff. Because we also get, you know, introduced to the concept of, like, boats and, you know, doing that stuff. Like, there's a couple different mechanics that get thrown in here. And it just seems like, because they're pretty significant, like, you know, like, very different from other mechanics we've had in the series thus far, that just, you know, that seem to be, like, the only real thing that's going on in this sequence. And so it does kind of feel like they were demoing something, and then they're like, hey, let's just show this in the game somewhere. And I, you know, not to say that it's bad in any way, you know, it's, you know, the story continues on just fine or whatever, but it's like, kind of like thinking about it in a behind the scenes perspective, it does kind of feel like that effect, something along those lines.
Yeah.
But, overall, still having a great time. I mean, still the GOAT. I think Forley is much better constructed, which just reaffirms my thing that, like, I just don't like Tuscany. It's not that the overall, like environment design is poor. It is just Tuscany. I just don't like Tuscany. I think it's very lazy. Forley, on the other hand, is, again, very distinct. Has a lot of cool structures, you know? And it's, you know, not quite as big as Florence.
The water's cool.
It's about the same size as Tuscany. It's another, like, town type thing. But it's got distinct, you know, it's in, like, the swamplands, basically, kind of, sort of. A lot more water. And that was something I realized, too, which I realized I did it in past sequences, but it never really clicked until now. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't die when I hit the water. You can swim
in the 2009 game. I've literally been thinking about that. I was like, man, I'm swimming around. You can dive?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like, they have pretty, like, you know, nuanced swimming mechanics for a 2009 game. I get, like, there was a whole generation of games where it was, like, a meme touch the water of, like, you know, these heroes can't swim. Like, it's just not.
Hell,
not
Batman a thing. Couldn't swim, like, the entire time.
Yeah. So it's just not a thing. Because, you know, you've then got all these different physics to come up with and movement systems and animations and whatnot. It's a whole nother thing. It's fairly understandable. But, Ubisoft did it in 2009, and it shows their commitment to the franchise and, you know, everything. And I will say, you know, like, think of it in terms of, like, how Devil May Cry was a, you know, originally Resident Evil 4, in the same way that Assassin's Creed was originally the new Prince of Persia. And when it does spin off into something new, I'm sure that affected the budget. Like, a new IP is not something, you know, like, obviously Ubisoft corporate would probably be willing to invest a lot more into an established IP that they know does well versus something, hey, we have a completely new idea. We don't know how it's going to go. So I do feel like they got a pretty significant budget increase for 2 due to the success of the first game and fans, you know, wanting more. And so they said, bet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the mechanics in general are just like, you can tell they put some love into them. Yeah. Like, climbing buildings is just so much nicer still. Like, I think about that. The assassinations are a lot cleaner. Mm-hmm. Just everything's a lot more fluid.
Yeah. And I'm continuing to just be, like, surprised by the amount of variety in the gameplay that it throws at you. The different enemy types, the different combos, different upgrades. Like, I really feel like... Because, you know, in the first game, you kind of hit a point after, like, after a certain point in the game where then you just get, like, upgrade. Like, you get, like, more ammo and, like, different things like that. Like, little things. Like, you can tell, like, the, you know, the main gist is there. And then you're just kind of, like, experiencing more challenge and, like, stuff like that. And that's kind of how they keep it going. This game, they just keep adding new concepts and new things.
You look at that weapon wheel and it's, like, huge. And I think we're still missing, like, 2 or 3 things from that weapon wheel.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's been so long since I played later parts.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of stuff, like smoke bombs, throwing knives.
Exactly. And like, and then just still being able to balance that pretty well, where they all kind of maintain like their usefulness, and it's not like anything's made obsolete.
Yeah,
is also just a huge high point for this game, that it can juggle so many different gameplay concepts and make them work pretty seamlessly together.
Well, and it makes the world kind of sandboxy too, like when I go get a codex page and like there's guards out front guarding it, I'll like go up there and I'll like stab them, and you know, I'll go kill them all and I'll get the codex page, or I can throw a smoke bomb down and just walk past them and just walk back out after I get it. And it just adds so much variety to how you can approach everything. It's great.
Yeah. Just again, like all concepts that feel like they're fairly standard today that were pioneered by games like these.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, super, super awesome to see something like this that's 15 years old and holds up extremely well. You know, I think there's some aspects of the first game that don't necessarily hold up that great, but Assassin's Creed 2, oh my god, it's still very much playable in this.
Very much playable.
In 2025. But let's get into the sequence proper, even though we've already talked about it at this point a little bit. But
I mean, it wasn't very very long.
Yeah, right. But you start in Florence because, you know, we ended the last sequence in Tuscany, and it does kind of do this a little bit of like a flash forward to Ezio going back to Florence to tell Lorenzo that the Pazzis are done. They're all gone. They like essentially they're like, their revenge is complete in a certain sense. And so Lorenzo's like, yeah, we did it. Cool. And Ezio's like, no.
He's like, there's more.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. So they agree that Ezio should head to Venice to stop whatever the Templars are plotting, because this is bigger than the Pazzis. And so Lorenzo supports him in that. He's like, yeah, you should go to Venezia. And so the plot begins for Ezio to go over there, and Lorenzo also gives Ezio, Lorenzo gives him the Medici cape, making Ezio permanently anonymous in Florence and Tuscany, which is super nice.
It's super nice, except for like this whole sequence doesn't matter.
True, but eventually when you get back,
yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a completionist thing. Like I don't remember the mission structures going forward, but I imagine we're not going to have any more main missions in those cities. So it's more so for like cleanup. Now you can go do whatever else you have to do, and you don't have to worry about constantly managing your notoriety level, which is nice. It's super cool. Too bad I already did most of it, but you know. I like a little challenge, you know. There's no difficulty level in Assassin's Creed 2. We're all playing the same thing. And so this way, you know, lets me have a little fun with it. Get a little more time. Because I looked, I think I currently, and this was, I think, at the start of the sequence, so it doesn't count this sequence. I think I have 10 hours in the game right now. So I'm curious to see how that stacks up with everybody else, because I feel like if you were just to go through the main missions, you'd probably like be at like half that. So,
like 8.
8? We've also done a couple side missions, too, so I don't know.
I kind of take my time, too.
That's true.
Like, I dick around. I like to kill guards for fun, just because it's, you know, it's fun.
It is a fun time.
I'll cause chaos in the courtyard, just get all the guards attacking me, and just be like, I'm going to slaughter each one of you.
It's part of what's nice about the open environments is kind of that childlike thing. I mean, I remember growing up playing GTA 4 and just running around, you know, causing mayhem. And obviously, it's not quite as big a scale as that in this game, but, like, you know, it's a similar vibe.
Oh, yeah.
But, so yeah, you get the Medici cape. And then, looking for Leonardo, a man tells Ezio that he moved his workshop to Venice for a wealthy client. So, conveniently, Leonardo is also going to Venice.
Yeah, he's going to the same place.
Yeah. Cool. One of your, like, closest allies just happens to it. But then he didn't say goodbye to you, which is kind of fucked.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. I was like, he just left, like, no note, no nothing.
He no card, you could have died! Shout out to whoever gets that reference. Real ones.
Yeah.
But... bro just up and left, and so, you know, but we're also going the same direction, so you head off into the mountains. Yeah, in that mountain place, who do you run into but Leonardo?
Yeah, because
he sucks. Barely made it out the gate without needing help.
You couldn't lift this carriage, or he's Leonardo da Vinci. You tell me he couldn't figure out a way to lift this carriage?
Actually, yeah, he's an engineer.
He could have figured out some amount of, like, leverage somewhere to, like, lift up. He had two horses. You're telling me he couldn't figure this out?
Bad move, Ubisoft. Down a point. Doesn't make sense. Bro's deciphering codex languages he's never even seen before, but he can't lift a cart.
Maybe it just happened and Ezio just got there convenient time.
Yeah, convenient timing. But, Ezio helps him, you know, fix his broken cart, and then offers to drive Leonardo to Venice while he tells him of a flying machine that he is working
on. Yeah, it looks like a bat.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like a bat.
It does.
Looks like a bat.
But the problem is, the Borgia come after them, and a chase ensues, which is, like I said, what we talked about.
Yeah, that stupid fucking wobble. I ran into so many barriers in this little chase sequence.
I did pretty well for myself. I wasn't too bad. Like I said, once I understood what was going on. It took me a second, but we got there.
Just gotta listen.
I'm not great at that. I just like doing stuff. But it was a fun time. Good stuff. They make it through, and eventually, like, Leonardo, like, kind of parts ways.
Well, yeah, Ezio's just like, okay, these guys are chasing me. And then he's like, okay, I'm just gonna handle this. You go away.
Literally, yeah. Like, at a certain point, he's like, yeah, you go. I'm gonna hold them off. I got this. And got this, and we do.
Yeah.
I mean, we fuck them up.
Just kill them all.
Exactly.
You even fight, like, a knight with a freaking big-ass axe.
Talking about the brute.
Yeah, that guy. I don't know the names.
Well, because I'm curious, is this the first time you fought a brute?
No, because, okay. There's one in the tombs, and I think I've had to fight one for a codex page or something. I don't know.
Gotcha.
But I've had to fight one some other time.
Yeah, because I was curious if this was the first time in the main story that we've had to fight a brute. Because, you know, I fought plenty doing all the side content stuff, at this point. So it's like they're pretty chill at this point to me right now.
Which, can you counter a brute?
You can't. You have to dodge.
That's what I thought. I was like, I tried it first and I was like, okay, I've been hit twice now. There's no way I'm missing it this bad.
Yeah.
So then I started dodging and it was fine.
Yep. Yeah, they can't be countered. That's kind of their big thing. Anytime I see a brute, I'm whipping out my main weapon, because otherwise it's just going to be a lot of ting, 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 ting,
well, yeah,
ting,
I saw
ting,
the,
and it's just painfully slow.
Yeah, I saw the big dude with the armor. I was like, I'm not even going to mess around with the assassin blade or dagger. I'm just getting straight to the sword.
Yeah, it's just, it's doable. I've done it before. I've killed a brute with an assassin's blade.
Oh yeah, it's a long time.
I think it's funny too, because there was actually, I think it was this tomb that we'll talk about here in a minute. There was a brute. And he was notified, like, he saw me, walked up to me, I still assassinated him. I still got him with
the... I did the same thing to that dude. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, here you go. Bye.
Yeah, but I was pretty happy that I upgraded my armor for this sequence, because I did get...
Oh, you got some armor, did you?
Yeah, I decided. I caved. I saw that the little bracer had, like, Assassin logo on it, and I was like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I had to get the set. I wasn't just going to
You know? You got to see it through, yeah, my boy.
I was like, I have the money.
Man, I mean, might as well, you know? So, yeah, you know, fight them off, and then, boom, you're in Flory now, which is, you know, a brand new little town. Like I said, it felt similar in size to Tuscany, not quite as big as Florence. Seems like another kind of, like, side city. But, again, just so much better designed. It has
a vibe.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I love the swamplands mm-hmm. kind of vibe that we've got going on there as well.
My favorite was you walk into, like, there's, like, a chest that these, like, two guards are guarding. But they're just, like, half submerged in water. Like, just standing with spears and just, like, up to, like, above their knees in water guarding this chest. And I was like, that is just, I love that.
Some good times. Good times over there. But at this point, I think we could talk about that tomb if you want. I know you did it after you had finished the sequence, but
yeah.
We both did a tomb, the tomb that was located in Forli, which is...
Whoa, I did not say that at all.
Ravaldino's secret.
Holy secret. Shit.
And so, yeah, you infiltrate Roca di Ravaldino to find the assassin seal hidden within, which when I finished this, the achievement popped up. It was called Prison Break. So I guess this was an Italian prison that was then, like, converted into, like, you know, a little, like, Templar spot or whatever guarding this assassin seal, which I started thinking about. I'm like, why are the Templars guarding these? Like, did they just see the Assassin's logo and they're like, I bet they want this. Let's just chill here.
Well, and I've also wondered, too, like, how, like, these seals are guarding Altair's armor. How old are these structures? And how are these, like, still, like, perfectly set up rafters?
Well, I mean, there could have been multiple people that have actually gotten Altair's armor, true. And they sort of, like, pass it down, you know what I mean? They kind of hide it throughout, and that would have been such a cool gameplay concept.
That would have been cool.
To, like, continue through the new ones, like, just have assassin seals in each game, and you can then unlock, like, Altair's armor, and, like, it could have
vaults, and it has, like, the previous armor of games.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you get Ezio's armor, the Connor's, like, all kinds of stuff, like... That would have been a cool concept. I mean, write this shit down, Nintendo. Like, come on. I'm just saying.
Slacking, man.
It would be cool. But, yeah, how'd you feel about this tomb?
I actually liked this tomb. I thought it was, better design than the other tombs. A little tighter, but it still had the parkour.
Right.
Like, you weren't just like, I'm gonna climb to the top of this fucking thing. It was like, oh, I gotta climb to the top of this thing, but I also have to kill some people and...
Yeah.
Maybe do some stealth.
Yeah, it felt like a good balance. The other tombs felt like they were, like, focused on a specific concept, whereas this one felt like it was tying it all together. It had some platforming, it had some parkour, had some combat, had some time stuff. You know, it felt like a mix of the tombs that have come before and, like, you know, remixing a bunch of them in interesting ways and kind of help streamline the whole thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it a lot. I also got some. I got an inkling of Ninja Gaiden vibes from the very start when you're kind of like you go up and then you like jump back and then jump back again. And just because I've been playing some Ninja Gaiden lately, and I was like, oh, this is just.
Well, I was just thinking I got a Mario up here because I was imagining Mario.
It's a little boing boing boing.
But it did. I felt like it was trying to teach you that in that dungeon, like how to. Jump off the wall backwards,
right?
Because like it made you do that so much in this dungeon. I was like, I mean, I already knew how to do that, but I wonder, like,
right?
Is that something that a lot of you guys didn't know how to do? Like, I'm curious.
True. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of the side stuff is a little like because it's like you know you can technically do that stuff in any order, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to think about how much you really need to utilize that in the main missions because a lot of the main missions are very like. Action focused or you know stealth focused or things like that they don't get I feel like a lot of these tombs are where they're really showcasing off like the more I say advanced but you know like in terms of like gameplay mechanics like the advanced parkour mechanics and different things that you might not necessarily be using on a regular basis so I think they're just adamant about making sure, hey, you know these things. And that's kind of why I like doing the side missions, like, throughout, because they do kind of help solidify and teach and then hone a lot of the more, like, advanced skills that then, you know, bleed over to where I play through the main missions and I'm just steamrolling.
Well, yeah, and then, like, the secrets are a lot easier to get to. You don't have to think about them as hard. You're like, I don't know how to do this because, like, maybe you have to do that back jump. You know how to do that. And it's just...
Right.
Now you got some loot.
Yeah, exactly. Which I have not been able to get the last couple treasure chests in these missions where it's like I can't figure out how to get to them. They're so like because I heard it. I heard a little twinkle, but I never saw it. Never knew where it was.
That's rough. So for this one was really easy.
Damn, that sucks.
This one. I think where basically you walk out this door because you kind of can hear it in this tunnel. That's where I heard it, and I couldn't really figure like a doorway you'd walk through. You could, I kind of heard the twinkle that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out, and there's like you have to climb up like some rafters.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just jump over and you just keep jumping, and then you're there, and it's in like a little cave hole.
Lovely.
Yeah. And then you can jump out onto the, you know, path.
Hmm.
That was a pretty poor description, but, you know.
Yeah.
You missed it.
Because there's a treasure chest that I keep thinking about in the, which we haven't talked about yet, but we'll eventually get to, in the Auditory Estate, which I'm not going to say too much about it, but essentially it's in like a place that I just genuinely have no idea how you could reach. I eventually left it because I'm like, well, maybe it's just somewhere where I can like kind of circle back to later. No, it never came back. So I'm just like, I have no idea how you get to it. It makes no sense. It's just completely up, way up with nothing around it. And I don't understand how you're supposed to get over there. I'm like, is this like, what?
I'll figure it out. Don't worry.
We'll see.
I've gotten all the chests in those tombs. All
right. Well, we'll see how you do. But, yeah, so that's it. I think I've got 4 out of the 6 now. But I was trying to remember what the 4th one I did was. Because I only remember doing 3 tombs.
I thought we had done all the tombs. The only time I haven't done... the only tomb I haven't done is at the Auditory Estate.
Which, that's not even technically a tomb. It is, but it isn't. Like, you don't get a steal from it.
I think I've done... This is my 3rd. But I thought we were doing the same amount.
That's what I thought, too. But I'm pretty sure it said 4. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be lying. I could have just be misremembering, and I've only done 3.
I think it's a liar.
That's fair. But, anyway. Making it through those tombs, because it would honestly make sense for me to have done 3. Because Florence, Tuscany, and then Forli,
yeah.
But
gotta get that Altair armor, though.
Yep. Gonna be pretty sick.
Be classic.
Hell yeah. And so, that's the only side content that we both got accomplished this week. And then back to the main mission, because I got near the area because I was clearing out a bunch of side stuff, getting some chests, doing some things, and I just got so annoyed with every 5 seconds, Ezio, over here! I heard it like 15,000 times, and I was like, shut the fuck up. I
just, over at the dock,
literally, because I was collecting all this stuff. I was getting, because I got a bunch of, I got like 2 or 3 more glyphs. I'm like halfway through, I think, now. I think I've got like 10 of the 20. And so... I got a couple more glyphs, and so there was one that was there, and so I was looking for it, and I was, like, scaling, getting the viewpoint and whatnot, and he just kept yapping, Ezio, over here, bitch, I know, I'll get there, chill the fuck out, you needy bitch.
God.
Oh my god, it was annoying the hell out of me, but, you know, still. But once you eventually satisfy Lorenzo by going up and talking to him, you know, he thanks you for saving him, even though it was kind of your fault that you were being chased in the first place. But, you know, so...
Say Lorenzo?
Leonardo.
Yeah, that's what you meant to say.
Same thing.
It's not.
You know, Mr. Vinci, you know, thanks you and everything. And, you know, is like, all right, let's go to Venice. And so they start trying to get on the ferry. And the ferryman's like, yo, where's your pass? And Leonardo pulls the privileged white boy thing of, you don't have a pass? Like, what? Like, huh? And he's like, Ezio has no idea. He's like,
I don't know. Like, I was just traveling. Bro. Yeah, like, bro. I was just going to go to this place. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And the guy's like, you got to be invited. He's like, which I think is ridiculous. Why you got to be invited to this place?
Exactly. Like, why you got to be invited to a city?
Yeah, why can't I just show up?
That's like saying I need an invite to New York. Like, the fuck? Like let me just go there, bro. Yeah, let me fuel your economy, dude.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah, fuck you. And so he's basically like, I'll figure something out. When conveniently, a woman starts shrieking nearby.
She doesn't really shriek. She's like just demanding. She's like, hey, you, are you going to help me? I'm on this fucking rock, you asshole.
And so, you know, you got to go figure out what's going on.
Yeah, because she's a bitch. I had no idea who she was.
And so, you know, you get in a boat, which, like I said, there's boat mechanics in this game. Yeah. You row, and it's actually, like, you not just, that like...
bitch.
Yeah, you have to, like, time your paddles and stuff like that. Like, it's not just, like, a move it around, because I fully expected it to be, like, a car where you
you just push forward, and it just will, like, row the way you want to go.
Yeah, no. You actually have to, like, put thought into your rowing and shit. And I was like, okay, pop off, I guess.
Yeah.
But so you go over to this rock and meet Katarina, which my trivia question this week involves. Let me see if you can get this one, Malarkey. What does Ezio first call Katarina upon meeting her? It's the very first thing he says. What is it? Do you remember? Do you guys remember? Answer down in the comments, over on our Patreon, whatever you want to do. Let's see if you got the cojones to remember this one. And so, meet Katarina, save her. There's a little flirtatious banter between the two.
She definitely wants to bang you.
And in exchange for saving her, she just walks up to the ferryman, has a few words, and then you're all set.
Yeah.
She got some pull.
He was like apologetic. He was like, "Oh, my bad, bro. Like, I didn't know."
Exactly. So who is this bodacious baddie that we've run into on the docks? Who knows? But she says she would be very interested in seeing him again should he ever visit Forli once more. So, you know? Very interesting times.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's sequence six. It's, like I said, it's very short. Again, feels like, because, you know, for the three missions that were there, two of them introduced completely new gameplay concepts. So it's like, it does feel like a bit of, like, a demo of sorts of, again, just showing off different things that it can do. And, you know, then utilizing them in different areas, I'm sure.
I felt like the boat mission was just so pathetic. It was like, it was literally just like, I need to figure out how to get on this boat. And then, like, conveniently behind you, this very powerful woman is just like, help me.
I'm stuck on a landmass and I can't swim 10 feet to the land.
Yeah. It's like, learn how to drive this boat real quick. Which, I mean, you know, I'm sure he knows how to paddle a boat, but, you know. It was just really convenient and kind of ridiculous. You paddled this boat 20 feet and paddled back.
Yeah. Is she a plant? Maybe. Who knows? Maybe she has nefarious interests. I don't know. She's a mystery woman who apparently has some pretty good... Which, if she does have that much influence with the ferryman, you're telling me that this supposedly, like, notorious woman... just got stranded all by herself.
What was she doing on that rock? I literally have them in my notes. What was she doing on the rock?
What is going on, Ubisoft? Answer us this. What's Katarina doing on that gosh dang, like, flipping rock?
How'd she get there? Hold on. I gotta get this out. Why is she on that rock?
Why is she on that rock?
It made no sense to me. Why is she on the rock?
But, you know. That is about it. Like I said, it's not a whole lot. We are firmly in, like, the second act of this game. We've still got plenty more game to go.
A lot of game.
But, yeah, I mean, pretty sick. Pretty sick. I'm feeling pretty good. How are you feeling now? Six sequences in.
Honestly, I don't know if I've said this. I probably have. But I'm feeling pretty nostalgic.
Like, you've said it almost every episode.
Yep. That makes sense. It's just, you know, it's just super nostalgic. I love it. I'm just going around killing all the guards like I used to.
Yeah.
Climbing all the buildings, getting all the waypoints.
I've noticed that you are, at least from what I can tell, becoming more and more inclined to do some more, like, exploration inside stuff and be in the world a little more as you're getting into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, because that's like, now I'm, like, starting to feel, like, full assassin, so I don't feel like I'm locked behind anything. That's, like, one of my biggest things I hate about these open world games is, like, you get to a certain, like, point, there's, like, stuff, like, in the area that you just have to come back to at a certain time because you're not powerful enough or don't have, the, like, the right tool or whatever. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm feeling like there's not much that I'm going to be not able to do or not already have.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, it's great. Like I said, this is Assassin's Creed at its peak.
Yeah.
I mean, this is as best. And it has made me worried. I don't remember if I had said this last week, but it's been something I've been thinking about recently. It's made me a little worried about getting to some of the later ones because I did forget how good this game is. Like, you have that remembrance of just knowing, like, remembering how you felt at the time. But when you lose a lot of the memory of, like, the specifics of the game and now you're going back and realizing it, you're like, man, there is so much here that's just not in the other games. And I'm like, man, is this going to negatively affect my perception of the other ones? See, maybe.
I've always had this negative perception, so.
That's because he's a little bitch, and I think there's plenty to love about those games. Don't get me wrong.
I've never really said they're bad games. I just don't think they're good Assassin's Creed games. That's always been my argument.
Yes and no. Yes and no. But that's for, you know, way further in the future.
Yeah,
but as far as Ezio goes, we're having fun. Bro is like, I think he's 21 now.
Damn.
He starts at 17.
He's getting shit done.
You know, it's been 4 years, I believe, since the start of the game. And man took out an entire family. Because, I mean, they took his, so it's only fair. It's, but, you know, I mean,
revenge, you know. Yeah, I like revenge.
Yeah, you're really setting up something profound there.
Yeah, I lost it. Like, I was like there on my tongue, and then it disappeared after I said the word revenge. I was like,
then you got deep in your own vengeance. Which, you know, like, you know, revenge, vengeance, it's a sweet concept. You know, being vengeance, being the knight, like a dark knight, perhaps. Like, all kinds of really cool vengeance-related stuff.
Yeah.
But that's probably going to do it for us. I know it's a shorter episode, but again, it's a shorter sequence. Sure, there's only so much we can really talk about. And I feel like
kind of been yapping for...
Yeah, exactly. But I appreciate you guys' support. Really does mean the world. You know, we keep getting more people heading over to Patreon. So if you haven't already, go over to patreon.com/resyncpodcast.
Do it.
Completely free just to be a member, and then you can keep up with us on our, like, you know, communications on, you know, if there's ever any delays, anything like that, which does actually remind me of a quick announcement I need to make. Oh. And that is that starting next week, we will actually move the day to a day earlier. So basically, my work schedule got switched around, so now I work like the complete opposite schedule of what I've been working, which does adjust when we film our new episodes. So they're actually going to be a day earlier now. So this one, business as usual, and then starting next week. So you guys can expect the next episode on Patreon on Sunday instead of Monday, and then on YouTube and all the different other platforms on Mondays. So it's going to be a day earlier because we're recording a day earlier. We'd originally talked about, like, you know, I mentioned that, you know, well, maybe we should just keep it. But then, you know, with Assassin's Creed Shadows coming out, we potentially getting more Assassin's Creed news. You know, that's just another delayed day. So I was like, let's just move it. So you can now enjoy the podcast as soon as next Sunday. So we'll be back like in 6 days.
Oh, really?
For you guys for the next episode. But excited for Sequence 7. Next week, we will be halfway through the game, sl/ finished with the first game's worth. and so Yeah, exciting times. It's a lot of fun. Again, super appreciative of you guys. Do want to make a couple or maybe just one quick plug. I don't know. But if you guys are watching on Patreon or over on our podcasting services like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and you're not subscribed over on YouTube, we are very close to hitting 400 subscribers on that channel. So if you guys would be so kind as to go over, subscribe, maybe share with your friends. We're really close. You know, getting more exposure helps this podcast, you know, helps me specifically as it is my own personal channel. You know, I do have other stuff on there that I've been posting. And so, but, you know, it would mean a lot. So, you know, like really help us get over that bar. One step closer to getting some more monetization options, being able to, again, dedicate more resources to this podcast then and just help us grow as a, you know, as a brand and whatnot. And so we've got a lot of really awesome stuff coming along the way. And
very excited. Very excited.
Yeah, it's super cool stuff. So like and share with your friends, all that. Do that, subscribe and stuff. It'd be really cool if we could hit 400. But yeah, so that's about all I got. You got anything else you want to add?
No.
All right.
Nothing as usual.
So we will see you guys next week for Sequence 7 of Assassin's Creed 2 over on Resync and Assassin's Creed Podcast. And remember, nothing is true.
Everything is permitted.
Arrivederci.